You are listening to a podcast by VONET, the National Online Resource Center on Violence Against Women, in partnership with the National Sexual Violence Resource Center.
My name is Jennifer Grove, and it is June 8th, 2010, and today we are talking with Dr. Kimberly Lonsway, Research Director for the nonprofit organization End Violence Against Women International. Dr. Lonsway earned her PhD in the Department of Psychology at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. She is the lead author on the VONET Applied Research paper titled Rape Prevention and Risk Reduction, Review of the Research Literature for Practitioners. What are some important things for people to consider when developing or conducting prevention programs?
I think the most important thing is to think of it ahead of time. The time to start thinking about evaluation questions is really at the same point that someone is beginning to design their program and think about what it is they are trying to change and how they're going to know if they've been successful. So to encourage people to begin thinking about evaluation at the beginning of the process, and then thinking ahead to plan how to measure that. So at that time, some questions for people to ask ourselves as we're designing a program. For example, what level of influence are we aiming for change for our prevention program? You know, are we aiming for change at the individual level, which is where it's often conceptualized, or at the interpersonal level, the community level, the societal level? Ultimately, we'd like to have strategies that incorporate change on all of those levels, but for evaluation purposes and, in fact, for program design purposes, we need to think pretty carefully about the level of change that we are currently targeting to make sure that our program is aimed at change at that level and that our evaluation measures are designed to measure change at that level as well. A second question to ask ourselves is, what is our specific goal for change? Are we trying to change beliefs, for example, or attitudes, intentions, behaviors? And if so, which ones exactly? I think we're often tempted to try to change all kinds of things, but we're more likely to be successful if we narrow our scope as much as possible. We really need to choose a small number of variables, or even a single variable, really, that we want to change with a program, and then make sure that everything else we do aligns with that goal. So if we've focused on one specific behavior change, we need to make sure our program is designed to target that specific change and that our evaluation research is designed to measure whether we've created change on that specific variable. That's ultimately the only way to find out if we've really been successful. And a third question at the beginning to ask ourselves is who our audience is. Are we aiming for a general audience with universal goals for change, or are we targeting a more selective audience, including people perhaps who are at a heightened risk for perpetrating or becoming victims of sexual victimization? Or alternatively, we might have what's known as an indicated strategy, where we target people who have already perpetrated sexual violence or become victims themselves. I think it's really helpful to point out, and I will probably raise this again, the importance of researchers and practitioners teaming up and doing so as soon as possible, because ultimately addressing these questions involves addressing both issues of research and practice.
Great, thank you. Those are definitely some really important things for those who are doing programming to really consider. So what would you say are some promising future directions for evaluation research?
I think there are many promising directions for evaluation research in the field right now of how well it's been done. And one of those new directions I think that I see us moving in, which is so promising, is the inclusion of more diverse participants, both in our programs and in our evaluation studies. As you know, almost everything we've learned from evaluation research with rape prevention programming is based on college students. And there's good reasons, good logistic, practical reasons for that, but it really is time now to move beyond that. And fortunately, some folks are leading the way in terms of including younger students and expanding programs to community members with more diverse audience members and participants in there. And ultimately, of course, that needs to be our goal if we intend to create change beyond our campus communities, and also to test whether the knowledge that we've learned from college students actually generalizes to other populations. And here again, I have to say another point where researcher and practitioner partnerships are so critical. Because as we know right now, there are most rape crisis centers and dual service agencies are out there doing prevention programming. And so to team up with researchers who have the social scientific expertise to evaluate, to see the impact of those programs is another critical direction for us to move. Another promising direction is the analysis of change in subgroups among our training participants. Fortunately, one of the great resources we have in this field is a collection of excellent measurement tools. One example, of course, is the Sexual Experiences Survey, which was developed and revised by Mary Koss and colleagues, that helps us to screen for perpetration or victimization with sexual assault. But up until now, we've tended to use those tools and measure impact on an overall group level. So I think another promising direction then is to follow the lead of some researchers who are examining outcomes among smaller subgroups, and we can define those groups based on really any characteristic that's relevant, whether that's gender or age, race or ethnicity, or prior involvement with sexual assault perpetration or victimization. And that type of research really has the potential to move us beyond the question of whether or not our programs are working, just in a general way, but perhaps more importantly, for whom they are working. And equally important, are there some subgroups for whom the program is not only not working, but actually doing harm? Are there groups that are experiencing negative effects from their involvement in our program? And in fact, we can take that one step further and begin to tease apart which components of the program are having an impact. One can imagine an evaluation strategy that would, for example, compare outcomes of a standard educational presentation versus the same standard educational presentation plus some extra component. Maybe it's an interactive improvisational role play, like the kind the Sex Signals program. And that type of research then offers another promising direction in helping us to sort out what is the additional impact of that second component, what aspects of our program are working and why. While I don't want to go into too much detail, I want to note that another promising direction is to increase the range of variables that we include as outcome measures. We've certainly expanded our thinking about what it is we're trying to accomplish with our programs, and so we can see corresponding increases in the variables and measurement tools that we're using. And finally, I believe there's a great deal of potential for us to improve our evaluation designs. At this point, there's simply no excuse for anyone to design an evaluation that consists solely of a pretest and a post-test, especially if that's given immediately after the program, and especially if it's using a fairly simplistic variable like rate myth acceptance, as dear to my heart as that construct is. But it's simply unacceptable at this point, and in fact, I think almost a waste of resources for us, given what we know about how limited that strategy is. Pretest sensitization has oftentimes as much of an effect as the program itself, and potentially. And we know that we see rebound effects for programs with short-term attitude change that bounces back over time. So if we truly want to learn something from our evaluation research, we need to design studies that can tell us something meaningful. And so that means expanding our toolbox to include strategies like random assignment to experimental versus control conditions, disguising our follow-up measures, extending the time between the program and the outcome evaluation, and using other research designs that are more powerful than a simple pretest and post-test, again, especially if that post-test is given immediately after the program. That strategy is just so limited that we may be better off saving the copy costs and investing in other sorts of resources.
Thank you. Those are some fantastic recommendations for future research on evaluation. So in conclusion, what are some steps that can be taken to bring us closer to our goal of preventing sexual violence?
As I've said, I think we're at a really exciting time for rape prevention, especially because there are so many young researchers and activists who are pushing us in new directions in the field. And so I think some of the steps we can take are to improve our evaluation research in some of the ways we've talked about here today. But of course, we can also expand our programs in ways that we just never dreamed possible, taking advantage now of the new technologies and social networking strategies, because as many of us know, that it makes it possible to reach a far wider, far more diverse audience than we ever imagined. And ultimately, I think we need to institute an agenda for action research. We need to be engaging in a constant cycle of implementing programs and then evaluating them and then incorporating what we've learned into revising those same programs. It's only that kind of a cycle of action and research back to action that has the potential to move us forward in the exciting new directions that we know and can document as successful.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Lonsway. I'd really like to thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
Excellent. Thank you.
For more information about VAWNET, please visit www.vawnet.org. VAWNET is a project of the Pennsylvania Coalition Against Domestic Violence and the National Resource Center on Domestic Violence, supported by a cooperative agreement with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Music by Beulah.